January 2023. Praise the Lord. The last Tuesday and the last day for that matter. Little by little, the year is running out too. So since the beginning of the month, we've been talking about new beginning. So today I'll be talking about new beginning. So let's start by going to Isaiah 43, and I will be reading from verse 15 to verse 19. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Verse 18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord. I think once in a while I have issues with my technology. It's so modern, and then it misbehaves. So in that passage, God is here reminding us that He is our maker. So we need to trust Him. We need to believe in what He says. He is the one who, in the past, had made possible things that seemed difficult for us to do, things that seemed impossible. He's the one that made them possible. If you think back, you remember some of the things God did for you. Last year, difficult things, challenging things. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. So God is saying now that what He did last year is even small. You should leave last year for last year. This is a new year. And new things are coming your way. Changes are coming. Better things are about to happen to you in the name of Jesus. Now, Jeremiah 18 reads, Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to verse 6. Said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Think about it. What went wrong last year in your own situation? Did you lose a job? Break down a relationship? Failed exam? Business shut down or slow down? God is saying that anything spoils can be remolded in a better way in his hand. Things can turn around and will turn around in the name of Jesus. In a new beginning, something must change. Your thinking changes. Your approach changes. Your ways change. And at times, you might change location. There are some stories in the Bible that fascinate me when it comes to new beginning. The first is the story of Paul, Apostle Paul. If we read Galatians 1, 13 to 14, that verse describes to us what Paul, or what Saul was then, his behavior, his practice. So Galatians 1, 13 to 14 reads, this is Paul speaking. He said, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. While persecuting the church, Saul did not realize he was doing anything wrong. To him, he was doing the right thing. So since he was not doing anything wrong in his own understanding, there was no desire for him to change in his ways. In fact, he was on his way to Damascus to go and arrest believers of Christ in Damascus and bring them to Jerusalem. But Jesus had a better use for Saul. God just chose to help him. Because if you look at it, his past, you judge that he didn't deserve any help. But God chose to help him. God had a plan for him. God saw something in him and felt he could use him. So on the way to Damascus, what happened? He had an encounter with Jesus, and he began his new experience. His own new beginning started. His name was changed from Saul to Paul, and his purpose was entirely changed. Different purpose from where he was coming from. Like I said, he didn't desire it. He didn't wish that would happen. Far from it. I pray that this year, God will find you useful and choose to help you, just like he chose to help Saul here, and give you a new beginning, even in areas where you didn't desire it, that you weren't looking for a change. I pray God will choose you and make a change in that area of your life in Jesus' name. The second story, or second experience I like in the Bible, is the story of Joseph in Genesis 41. Joseph had a new beginning when he came into the presence of Pharaoh. There was a total turnaround in his path. Total turnaround. It was like a case of a poor man turning into a rich man overnight. I pray that will be the story of some people here tonight in the name of Jesus. This year, things will change for some people dramatically in the name of Jesus. What triggered Joseph's new beginning, if you think about it? What triggered it? I would say the major trigger was when he applied his gifting. His gifting. He applied his gifting even in an uncomfortable environment. The opportunity showed up for him to use his abilities in interpreting dreams in the prison, and he used it well. Then later on, another opportunity came for him to interpret the Pharaoh's dream in the palace. Once he did that, his story changed forever. This is the case of a man's gift making room for him. So if you are talented, use your talent, because it will open new chapters for you. The third story that gets my attention about new beginning in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. So the Bible tells us that the young man approached his father and requested and also got his inheritance in advance. He asked for his inheritance from his father and he got his upfront. And the Bible said that he went to a far country. Far country. Probably didn't want to be disturbed, didn't want to be called, didn't want to be sought after. In verses 14 to 19, something happened. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That is what he proposed to do here. And what did he do? He did what he proposed to do. He went back to the father and he started a new life. In this case, unlike the case of Saul, in this case, the prodigal son desired a change. He desired a change. And you too can desire a new beginning like this man. In his case, it was the condition he found himself that made him think to desire a new beginning. His condition was uncomfortable. So that triggered him to desire a new beginning, a change in his life. When you can no longer tolerate your current status, you desire a change in direction. The prodigal son analyzed his present situation and he saw that his present situation was not sweet, was not interesting. He was not happy. So he desired a change. But the thing is, if you are happy with the way things are going in your life, you may not have any desire for a change. Think about it. Look at your relationship with God. You are perfect. Everything is going well. Righteous. You don't fall. You don't trip. What change are you looking for again? Your relationship with your spouse. Perfect. Relationship with your children. Good. Relationship with your parents. Good. Your neighbors. Your co-workers. Everything is good. Your business is booming. You might not require a change. What do you want to change for? Everything. You're a perfect man, right? But an unsatisfactory situation will certainly call for a change. At times, it might be better off with a note. Okay. Now, verse 17 of the Luke 15 that we looked at says concerning the prodigal son, something that is very catchy. Every time I read it, it's like, wow. It says, but when he came to himself, what did he do to come to himself? What? He pondered some things. He considered some things. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? That's the fourth thing he did. He pondered. The next thing is, he made a decision, a wise decision for that matter, to go back to his father. Coming to oneself is all about thinking, 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 thinking. You know, something is always passing through our minds at every time, every second, every few seconds. Something is always passing. Things will pass, will go past. Many thoughts, they come and go. They pass through the mind without staying for a minute. But the thoughts that can bring about a significant change in our lives are more of the deep thoughts. Deep thoughts. The ones you turn right, you turn left, you toss it up, you toss it down, and you do that for a reasonable amount of time, not just for a second. Okay. So as we make time to talk to God in prayers, honestly speaking, we should make time to think. As in deep thoughts, prolonged thoughts, creative thinking. Not just things come and go, and sit down and think. One interesting thing is that worrying and thinking, they happen in the same faculty. Worrying and thinking. But the thing is, you are the one that will have to choose which one to give more attention to. Either you worry or you think. Even though as a child of God, we're not supposed to worry, right? Not supposed to. With worry, you focus on your pains, your hurts, and then the fear that something bad could happen. But with thinking, it is more of an hopeful theme. How can things work out, you think? What can I do? If I take these steps, how will things be better? That is what thinking does for you, as opposed to worrying. And I believe this is the kind of thinking the prodigal son must have engaged himself in to bring about a change of his path. Now, the thing is, the extent and quality of your thinking will determine the quality of the decisions you take. The extent and quality of your thinking will determine the quality of the decisions you take. And what you decide to do, and you do them, certainly will determine the quality of life you will live. You know, it's one thing to think deeply, just like the prodigal son did. It's another thing to now make a decision based on that prolonged thought, which the prodigal son did. But do you know that at times you could think deeply, make a decision, and don't do anything about it? But the prodigal son did what he decided to do, and that was wisdom. So everything starts from your thoughts. That is why the word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your actions align with your thoughts. Your results are an extension of what you are thinking. That is just it. So as you think, so it will be manifested around you. So you choose how you think. So take thinking seriously. It's a serious matter. I see many people engaging in learning, you know. They study, they read, always reading something from something to the other. Reading and reading and reading. Watching something. Engaging your senses. Earphones constantly on, plugged in, hearing and listening and listening and listening to something. They are increasing their learning, right? They are increasing their learning, which is good. Very good. But with all the learning, how would that change your life? If you don't make time and space for serious thinking. Make time and space for serious thinking. Say once in a while, maybe once in every day, once every day, or once in 2 days, or whatever. Just lock yourself up somewhere. Go somewhere into your room or your study. Clear your table so you won't be distracted. No telephone, no iPad, no nothing, no media. Just go with the paper and the biro. Because when you pray, ideally you pray in secret, right? So the next thing you want to do, think in secret too. Stay somewhere where nothing distracts you. And think. Think deeply. You'll be surprised at the numerous solutions you have for your challenges. You'll be surprised at the steps you can come up with to change an unfavorable situation. When I was younger, a lot younger, when I was at the level where I could have my own table in my profession, I tried to encourage myself to think, and I came up with slogans. This slogan, when I was like maybe 32, was a slogan I got from IBM. IBM's slogan is, think. No story, no nothing, just think. So what I did a plaque, a small plaque with think on it, and I put it on my table, not for everybody to be seeing, but for me to be looking at it and realize that I need to think. 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 After many years, I went past that. I don't know where I threw that in and whatever. But I now developed another slogan. And I say, there is always a way. Those who think, see it. There is always a way. Those who think, they see it. So I kept that slogan too for a while. Just to encourage me to think and think and think and think and think. After a while, I changed the slogan again. And this is the current slogan that I use. It's on my reminder on my phone. Comes up maybe every other day. Just for me to, wait. Sit down and think. So that slogan is, think. In all situations, after praying, there is a strategy. Think. Comma, in all situations, after praying, there is a strategy. So really, you pray in all circumstances. After praying, you sit down and think, and think, and think, and think. Always ask yourself, what is my current situation in every area of your life? What is my current situation? Am I happy? Am I satisfied with what is going on with me now? If you are not, you need to think through the issues and find ways to solve your problems. Many of us have set some goals or expectations for the year 2023. Good. Now, as you look at these goals regularly, you should be inspired to reach forward to achieving them. Seeing the goals inspire you to do something. Reach forward to achieve them. Think through what you need to do to get there. Don't wait for things to happen to you by accident or by chance. Find out what you need to do to make things happen. In this new year, you need to thoroughly analyze your situation. Thoroughly analyze your situation. About 4 years back, I desired to increase my business turnover by up to a particular amount. You know, it was one of those end of years, and it's like, okay, what do you desire for next year? And so I wanted a particular level of revenue. It was a bit far from what I was earning then, about 4 years ago. The year after, I didn't get it. 3 years after, I didn't get there. 3 years, I didn't get there. About 2 years back, we decided we were going to expand our facility. So we were able to expand down our street. By the time the additional facility was ready, the first month of that new facility, by the time I got the result for the whole company, of course, we far surpassed that target I set 4 years back. And you know what? It dawned on me that there's a limit to what, for instance, a 12-room facility, a 12-bedroom hotel can do. There's a limit. Yet you may set targets. You may struggle. Yes, you may have some increase and some increase, but at a particular time, you will get to a limit unless you do something else. Just like pouring water in a cup. The limit is that cup, you know, unless you get another cup or a bigger cup. So if you want more this year, maybe you need to expand your capacity. Expand your capacity. What you can receive. Expanding capacity is not so easy, but of course, you need to pay for strength to expand. In Deuteronomy 15:6, if I said to you there that you will lend and not borrow, what is the answer? Amen. Is it not true? You will lend and not borrow. It's amen. Of course, it's ideal to lend, to have more than enough to lend. Before coming here today, I just said, let me even check online for something. Elon Musk, my pastor's favorite person, he borrowed $18 billion. To get Twitter account, that business, $18 billion. That's a billionaire. All the Nigerian billionaires that we know, many of them, you know, I used to be in a bank. They borrow a lot. In fact, banks struggle to give them money. So, when the prayer is to lend and not to borrow, which is good, you know, but maybe at times you could amend it that you can borrow. I pray you can borrow and be able to use the money wisely, and you increase your assets, and you increase your wealth, and you be a blessing to people, and you don't chop the money. Maybe that would be a good prayer. So, thank you. So, in my expansion, for instance, it got to a point where I was stuck. I used every money that I could get from anywhere, any money that I forgot in one bank, any shares sold, and And it got to a level where I was stuck. I needed to finish some things. And I sat down one day. I decided to think. Thinking is powerful. And I took a paper and a biro. I prefer pencil. Took a paper and a pencil. And I said, Wale, it's time to borrow. I never used to borrow. In fact, I can't remember ever borrowing, even from as a kid. Is this what I have? I live with it, you know? But of course, it could limit your growth. So I decided to borrow. So I listed out the names of people that I think I might feel comfortable approaching. First of all, the bank. Oh, the bank said, okay, yeah, they can give me some money, give me 10 million without collateral. Pay in 6 months, no problem. Oh, my sister, I call my sister. Give me some money. If your family cannot lend money to you, you have a problem. Your family. Then I went further on. I thought of my old high school friends. Once in a while, we have a chat group. So who can I approach now? I approached the three of them. Two of them said they didn't have. One of them said, no problems. I approached my former staff because I know she was already comfortable. The children are already working, so, and she gets some good business and money is just, and I had helped her too long time ago. Oh, no problems. I give you $4,000. The only thing though is that when you are paying back, please pay me back in the dollars. And you can imagine borrowing in dollars. At maybe 300 and something, and then the thing goes to 800, you are in big trouble. So that was the first one I quickly paid. Then I have this widow friend. She said, Wale, I'm going to give you a widow's mite. Give me 1 million naira. Then a friend in my neighborhood. Then a friend in church. And then I also got a credit line from my generator supplier, because I needed that big generator so that I can be using the hotel with full capacity. And I got the credit. One thing I did, which I think maybe people can learn from, is that when people lend you money, no matter how close you are, do a letter of agreement to show that you are committed to paying. None of them ever asked me for a letter or anything. Even my own blood sister, I sent her a letter and I asked my wife to be a witness. So, and I sent to them. None of them asked me for interest. But as I was paying them interest. You know, said, no, no interest, you know. Even the letter I wrote interest. But some said, no, don't worry, you don't need that. I paid them interest. Interest that I figured they could earn if they put the money in deposits for that period. That is just a fair thing. If you are borrowing money for business, you are depriving somebody of their own earnings. Be considerate to give them some return for their sacrifice. Many of us are restricted because we won't borrow, or we don't have who we can borrow from because we have not built relationships with people from which we can borrow. This is a new beginning. If that is your situation, maybe you can start afresh today. Start building rapport with little people, little. You don't know when you might need their help. 2 Kings chapter 4 narrates the story of Elisha and the widow with a jar of oil. Elijah asked her to borrow vessels from anywhere, everywhere. And after the woman's son had gotten around to borrow vessels, they put the vessels down and the woman started pouring oil from the jar of oil. Kept pouring. After a while, she asked for more vessels. And the son said, the vessels are finished. Meanwhile, the blessing of God was in that jar of oil. The blessing was coming. But once the vessel finished, the blessing ceased. The oil ceased. She was able to take enough of the blessing based on her capacity. So to receive what God has for you, you may need to increase your capacity, even if you have to borrow to do that. This year, God is going to do a new thing for you. God is going to do a new thing for you. Maybe you have a shop. It can turn into two. Maybe it is two. It can turn into three. If you are a one-staff business, I want to use an example of like maybe you are a tailor or you have a tailor company and you have only one staff. Do you know, even if the staff work 24 hours, there is a limit to the income that the staff can generate. So it will always be that same amount, unless you add inflation rate and there's a limit. So you might need to increase your capacity. Get another tailor so that you can have incremental income. So think deeply and determine what new steps you are going to take this year. I remember on Sunday when Sister Deola Adesoya was speaking in the empowerment, she said something that caught my attention and stayed. He said, seek continuous improvement. Seek it. This is the key to experience new beginning. Ask yourself, how can I be closer to God? How can my relationship with my spouse be better? How can I improve my services? What can I do differently to make outstanding grades? Recently, two of my neighbors were getting me worried. They had one issue. I said, I'm disturbing them. It got me worried. And I decided to pray about it. I sat down and gave some deep thoughts. And I thought, how can I see continuous relationship, improvement of my relationship with these people? And that is what I have to do. Because God says we should pursue peace. So we have to pursue the peace. So what is going to change about you this year? Ask yourself. If you want to achieve a better result, you have to do things differently. Change your method. Change the way you speak to your husband. Change the way you treat your wife. Change the way you treat your customers. Continuous improvement is key. 2023 is going now, so arise and do something. Don't just stay in the position you were last year. Move. Take a step of faith. I like the story of the lepers at the gate of Samaria in 2 Kings 7, 3-5. As a roundup, it says, now, there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die. Anything worse than death? And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. There is a positive surprise awaiting you in 2023. Think, analyze the situation, and do something. God bless you.